living life on mission. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you like going on vacation? You know what I mean? I do. How many of you's vacation plans got turned upside down because of COVID-19? How many of you are rescheduling your vacation and trying to figure something out, or maybe trying to figure something to do this year? Possibly. I've got an idea. How about have a staycation? You say, what's that? What's a staycation? That's where you just stay at home for a week and do nothing. You just have a time of just chilling out and relaxing and just having a good time and all that good stuff. That's a thought. You don't have to do that. And hopefully things will clear up. Maybe you can get to your vacations and all that good stuff. But we're going to be talking about something just a little different. You know, if you've ever been on a missions trip to either somewhere overseas or somewhere right here in the United States, if you're joining us online, just comment, you know, where you've been. But when I was a youth, our church youth group, we went on a mission trip to a place called Taos, New Mexico. And it was a very interesting trip. I mean, we had several things happen from the time that we left to the time that we got home. But it was very rewarding, and I will never forget that trip. I'll never forget going on that trip and the time that we had. And, you know, we all like, if you've ever gone on a missions trip, whether overseas or here at home, you know that those are fun. Those are enjoyable. You feel like you've accomplished something. You feel like you've done it for whatever reason you felt like you were to go and to do that trip. But over the next several weeks, I'm hoping to take this series, and I'm hoping to remind us as believers that being on mission doesn't require airfare or luggage or a van or a bus that breaks down. While mission trips can be beneficial, often the greatest ministry that a person can have is right here in their own community. And my goal these next few weeks is to encourage you to serve and love others right where you are. And it's important that we view life's interruptions as opportunities like Jesus did. If you've ever read throughout the Gospels, and I'm talking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you've ever read throughout the Gospels, you notice that many times that Jesus would be doing something and he would get interrupted with something else. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these interruptions, and we're going to see just how Jesus handled interruptions, and hopefully that maybe you will look at interruptions that happen in your life in a different light. Today I'm going to be looking, probably just read several different verses, but I'm going to be looking at Matthew 8. And if you have your Bibles or electronic devices, you can go there to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. It's the first book of the New Testament. We're going to be looking at the first few verses there. But Jesus has just come down from the mountain where he had been teaching, likely for several days. Not only is he being followed by a crowd, which if you look, probably most of the time when you see a story, read a story about Jesus, he's usually being followed by a crowd. I mean, crowds just flocked to him. There was something amazing about this man that people just had to be around. But in this passage and throughout his earthly ministry, we see Jesus interrupted by people at every turn. And chapter 8 of Matthew's no different. First, in verses 1 through 4, a man with leprosy asks to be cleansed, and Jesus obliges him, but instructs the healed man to tell no one. Next, in verses 5 through 13, as Jesus returns to his hometown of Capernaum, an army commander comes and asks Jesus to heal his servant with only a word. And Jesus, recognizing the military leader's great faith, honors his request. Then they go to Peter's house, and in verses 14 through 15, where Peter's mother-in-law is ill, Jesus, seeing this, heals her fever, and she is immediately up and busy in the house. Verses 16 and 17, we read that word has gotten out and more are coming to Jesus, asking for him to help. And Jesus responded to all the sick. In verses 18 through 22, Jesus takes time to talk to people about the cost of following him. And lastly, in verses 23 through 27, we see Jesus awakened from a nap by his disciples to calm the storm. Each time, Jesus listens and responds to the needs that are around him. Can you imagine just walking throughout your day? Let's say you're on a mission, whatever your mission may be, whatever you've got, you know, you've got a task that you're trying to get accomplished. And then every turn, somebody was coming up asking something from you. Some of you mothers are thinking, I know exactly what he's talking about. I'll be trying to work on the house, and my kids come up. My husband comes up. You know, all these people come up needing something from me, right? Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, but here Jesus is. He's doing his thing. He's minding his, he's just going about his day. And every turn, something else happens. But what does Jesus do? He stops. He takes a moment. He listens. He looks at the need, and then he meets the need. He speaks to the people. He touches them. He does everything that he possibly can to reach those needs. He takes those interruptions, and he turns those interruptions into great opportunities. There are needs in every community. Jesus was intentional. He was loving. He was kind when responding to those who interrupted him in his daily living. In the last few verses of chapter 8, we see that Jesus has arrived at a new destination. That was just in one area, and then he goes to a new destination. That's what they were on the boat. They were on the boat going to another place. Now, most of us, if not all of us, you think of some very good reasons to travel and serve in different areas of the world. We could sit there and name a list of why we need to do missions outside of the country, why we need to do missions, why we need to take the gospel, why we need to go build water wells and build churches and in these foreign nations. And those are things that we should do, that we shouldn't stop doing. We should continue to do, whether it's us going ourselves or giving money to support those efforts. Whatever it is, we should do that. There's a strong biblical mandate that tells us to do that in Matthew 28:19 that says, go and make disciples of all nations. And the very ideal of a grand adventure, it's very appealing. And we think, man, this is a great way that I can go see the world that I might not do otherwise by going on a missions trip. And we all want an adventure, and we can't wait to share our pictures on Instagram and Facebook and all those great things. And it wouldn't take long for us to look at other nations and see the great needs. I've already named just a few. However, going out or away isn't always the best answer. Often the most effective ministry a Christian will have is loving and serving their own communities right where we are. You and I, we can live missionally in our own communities. Recognize and respond to the needs that are all around us. Maybe some of you right now, I'm talking to you and you're sitting there and you're thinking of needs that could be done right in your community. You're thinking of people that need ministered to. You're thinking of people that need touch. You're thinking of people that need God's hand. And what better way than for us to take the initiative and take those interruptions that we may see and turn into opportunities. God has given us opportunities. There may be a stranger that walks in off the streets to your house or your place of business or wherever you may go, wherever you may work and play and function. And it may be a great opportunity for you to stop what you're doing and just introduce yourself. Start opening up that communication and build a friendship. And it's important that we do that. Jesus made the most of the interruptions that occurred. Think about these. These are just a few. The first one, the man with leprosy. Verse 3 says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, what's the big deal about this? It was a big deal. This act that Jesus did by just touching a man with leprosy, it showed great compassion because lepers were considered both ceremonially and physically unclean. Leprosy could describe any number of diseases affecting the skin. These diseases often started as nerve problems that caused a person to lose all feeling in the body's extremities. And this condition often led to physical injury and the loss or dysfunction of the body part. Now, because such diseases were greatly misunderstood and often considered contagious, those who suffered from the condition often lived in colonies isolated from the rest of society. Yet, without hesitation, Jesus responded to the man's faith by touching him and healing his disease. He then told the man to follow the regulations outlined in the law so he could join society again. It's pretty amazing what Jesus did. Going about his day, he had just got through delivering a sermon. He's probably tired and wore out because he'd been preaching for several days. And then as he's coming down off what we know as Sermon on the Mount, coming off the mountain, here it is, a man with leprosy comes up to him. And most people, even the religious leaders of that day, would have shunned this man, would have pushed him away. But what did Jesus do? Jesus responded to the interruption. He took the opportunity to show that as people, we can show compassion to those that are maybe have diseases, that maybe have things that we don't quite understand, that we may not know everything about. It's okay. We can open up, we can show compassion, and we can reach out and touch and minister to those in needs. A lot of times we look at people that are different from us and we think, man, I just don't know how to minister to them. I don't know how to speak to them. I don't know how to do these things. But we can always show compassion whether we understand or not. Compassion is something that is greatly needed in today's world. Amen? We need to show one another compassion. Because think about this. You could be in the very same spot the next time. It could be you that has a disease that nobody understands. How are you going to respond? Jesus responded by showing compassion and by touching them and ministering to them. The centurion, verse 10 says, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. The centurion's faith was more impressive than anything that Jesus had seen among the Jews because it combined a loving concern for another person with complete trust in Christ's authority and power. Jesus took a moment to meet the need of someone that interrupted his day. Think about this for just a moment. Jesus was continuing on through his day. The centurion comes up to him. But Jesus said, okay, well, take me to you. And the centurion said, I don't feel worthy enough for you to come to my house. In other words, I'm a great sinner. I've done many wrongful things, but I have enough faith and know that you can speak to my servant from here, not even being there, and the man will be healed. That was the faith of the centurion. So what did Jesus do? Jesus took another opportunity that in the middle of his day, he was interrupted, and he took this opportunity, and he said, okay, go. By faith, he's healed. And Jesus said that he had never seen as great a faith as what was in this centurion. He saw that this man believed and understood and knew that Jesus could touch him, even not physically actually touching the man. And then the disciples, even at the end of a long and tiresome day in the midst of the storm, Jesus took a moment to ease the nerves of the disciples. Verse 27 says, "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Jesus has had a long day. I mean, you can just read all of verse 8 all the way up to this point. This was the end of the day. He was tired. He was wore out. He was sleeping on the boat. He just wanted to get some rest. Have you ever had that kind of day? We're like, I just want to go and rest. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to be with nobody. I don't want to hang out with nobody. I just want to get some rest. And then what happens? Something happens, right? You know, you've got to take care of the dog, or your kids, you know, need something. You've got to cook supper, whatever it is. Something happens in the middle of your day. You're just wanting some rest, and somebody needs something. There's another interruption to your day. And here Jesus was. He was resting. He was enjoying his nap, getting a few Z's, what he could get on the boat. And then all of a sudden, this storm blows through, and all of a sudden, the disciples start freaking out. I mean, they're just like, dude, there's a storm, you know? We went camping this week, and Monday night, we got a little pop-up. And if you've ever been in a pop-up, it's about a step up from a tent, okay? I mean, that's what a pop-up basically is. It's like a tent on wheels, okay? And so, which we like our little pop-up. It's nice and cozy. I mean, it gets pretty tight when you got four people and two dogs. Let's put this, it's very tight, okay? But we enjoy it, and so we just get set up about 7:30. All of a sudden, I mean, it starts a downpour, and we're in this little pop up, you know, and we're in this down. I mean, and you know, we were very pleased to know that, hey, our pop up don't leak. That's always a positive, right? That's a good thing. When whatever you're sleeping in doesn't leak. That's the important thing when you're camping. And so, you know, we withstood the storm pretty good. You know, we found stuff to do. We had food there in the camper, in the little pop-up, and we played games with the kids and read. But honestly, you're watching every hour saying, when can we go to sleep and just sleep through this, you know? So finally got settled down and withstood the storm. Kind of got a little nervous with the creek that ran beside us as those waters kept getting higher and higher. And you're thinking, man, I hope this thing don't become a boat instead of a pop-up, you know. But we were okay. We survived it just fine. But can you just imagine, here the disciples are in this fishing boat or whatever kind of boat they are. They're out on the sea, and all of a sudden this storm rolls in. And I can only imagine how scary it could be being on a boat, especially a fishing boat, in the middle of a storm. You know, if you've ever, I can just imagine the waves started just rising. And these disciples started just, I mean, they started flipping out. And they're thinking, man, what are we going to do? So they said, hey, let's go wake up the man that's sleeping. You know, he's our leader. You know, let's see if he has an idea. So they go and they wake up Jesus. And what does Jesus tell them? Oh, you of little faith. I don't know if he was laughing at them. I don't know if he was just picking on them or what he was doing, you know, and for fun or what it was. But he said, oh, you of little faith. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just goes, hey, storms, just stop. But he pretty much impressed these guys, right? Because what did they say? They said, how amazing is it that a man, that even the winds and the waves listen to what he's saying. That was his day. I mean, it was just interruption after interruption after interruption. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote. He wrote this. He said, the great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending one day by day. What one calls one's real life is a phantom of one's own imagination. You see, we as believers can be confident that God is at work in even the most mundane and ordinary moments of life. Interruptions are going to happen, right? Have you ever gone throughout a week without some kind of interruption to your day? I mean, how many of us back in February were already making plans for the next 3 months? And then what happened? COVID-19, probably one of the largest interruptions to ever have. This thing overseas, it's, you know, they're trying to keep it out of the United States the best they can. And then all of a sudden in March, what happens? Everything starts shutting down. Sporting events shut down. Stores shut down. Restaurants shut down. Jobs stopped. You could name it. I could go on and on of things that just shut down. An interruption took place in our life. And how we chose to face that interruption is what determines how we're going to come out of this thing. Do we face these interruptions head on and make the most out of this opportunity? Do we turn this interruption into a great opportunity to change the way we think, to change the way we do ministry, to change the way we do life, and to say, I'm not going to let this control my life, but I'm going to allow God to use me in the midst of this interruption and make it a great opportunity to fulfill the mission that God has called me to do. And even though that we may not be able to go on a mission trip or do something that we wanted to do like vacation or whatever, but we can stay right here, and in the midst of being here, we can serve the Lord and make the most of this interruption. Make the most of these opportunities that we've been given and fulfill the calling that God has placed upon our lives to reach out to those in our community and our neighborhoods. You know, for many people, especially those that are restless by nature, the thought of a new adventure, any place other than their hometown, can seem like the solution to every problem, right? If I could just get away, if I could just do something, if I could just go somewhere. And you may think, I'll be more effective in my ministry if I can start fresh somewhere else without all this baggage that I've got. I can leave this baggage behind. Or perhaps I'll be freer to pursue my passions and spread my wings without the watchful eyes of my parents, maybe previous teachers that knew me, youth leaders, those that knew who I was. However, as the old adage goes, wherever you go, there you are, right? You're still the same person whether you're here or there. The fact is, we cannot escape our issues that hinder us from effective ministry just by changing our location. We cannot escape that there will be times when people interrupt our lives, whether we think we have time for them or not. But we can follow the example that Jesus sets by being willing to face those situations through the power of Christ in us to serve others as he modeled with love and kindness. Amen? That's one thing that we need as believers. We need love and kindness for one another. But it's time that we stop looking at interruptions as interruptions. And it's time that we look at them as opportunities. Stop looking at interruptions as interruptions and look at interruptions as opportunities. But we can live missionally in our own communities. We can recognize and respond to the needs that are around us and use those times to be the church that Christ has called us to be. Amen? It's time that we become the church. It's time that we love our neighbors. It's time that we love our coworkers. It's time that we show some love to those, no matter who they may be. And let's let Jesus live through us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that we can come here today and be in your house. And God, I pray for all those that are here, God. I pray for if anyone is looking at interruptions as anything other than opportunities, God, I pray that you change their hearts. I pray that you change their minds. God, I pray that you would work in them, work through them, minister to them, God. Do a work in their lives, in their hearts. And God, I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, eyes closed, I want to take this moment, this opportunity, that if you're either watching us on YouTube or you're here in the service, I want to give you an opportunity to start a new relationship. I want to interrupt this service to give you an opportunity of a lifetime to ask Jesus to come and be your Lord and Savior. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize that you need his grace, you need his forgiveness, you need hope, you need change. You cannot earn it, you don't deserve it, but it's a free gift given to you. And that's why you're here today. And it's time to say yes today by faith. Give him your life. Whether you're at home or you're here with us in service, if this is you, then I want you to say this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer today and you meant it, then I want you to let us know. You can send us a text, 477-888-7331, so that we can pray with you, that we can help you in any way. If you were here today and you said that prayer, let one of us know. We want to help you in this journey. We believe that your Christian walk is not just a one-time thing that happens, but it's a journey. It's something that you take on each step, each day, a new step that you're taking. So we want to help us with that in any way that we want to help you with that any way we can. Can we pray? Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can come here and be in your house. God, I pray for every individual that may have responded to this altar call this morning. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts and their lives. God, I pray that you would move in their life, God, that you'd minister to them, God. Do a work in their life, God, I praise you. And God, I thank you right now for every soul, God, that is here that can hear my voice, God, whether here in service or at home. God, I pray that you would move upon them, that you would touch them, that you'd minister to them. Do a work in their heart and their life. And God, I give you praise and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we sing this for a moment?
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Sing it one more. at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Before you go this morning, don't forget, join us on YouTube this Wednesday for our Bible study. We're continuing in the book of James. And then don't forget, our ushers will be located at the back as you leave, and you can place your offerings in the offering plates as you go. Let me say thank you so much for your faithfulness. You have continued to be faithful to what God has called us to do by giving of your tithes. And by being faithful, our church has continued to see an increase in the giving. And thank you so much. We are able to continue to do the things that we are doing. Food pantry and just our day-to-day expenses and all those things. So thank you so much for your continued support. And so y'all have a wonderful week. And we will see you online Wednesday night. And if I have any more announcements this week, I will let you know those through every means necessary. And so y'all have a wonderful week.